This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Eventually, be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to the Bobo's play on the ground. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. Oh my goodness, the regular season is coming to a close. And here we are, me and my co-host Adam Murray. We're on the spaceship trying to get through the black hole before it sucks in all these bad teams so that they can go fishing. And then we can actually talk about postseason play, play-ins, play-offs, play-outs, play-throughs. And then we just keep playing until there's only one team left. It's so much fun. I am Andrew Reich. Adam Murray, are you excited yet about the postseason? You have the fever?
We made it through. I was.
Yeah. We got through the black hole. We got through it. Indiana Jones slid through the door and got the hat, too.
This isn't the Christmas episode. This isn't the Thanksgiving episode. But I really think we kind of need to give thanks for the entire year being actually good. Because I think back to last year, regular season was just terrible. It was just absolutely.
Yes.
It was just a big depth of nothing, like the middle half, the first third, after like the first week to the last week, it was just like blah. This year there was maybe because the competition
I honestly believe
even.
Is that when it came, yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because in terms of the playoff tiers, there was only one runaway you're never gonna catch them, and that was the Boston Celtics at the top of the Eastern Conference, and they wound up with 64 wins. That's an awesome record. Their net rating, I think, is what, like plus 11? That's incredible, Adam. That's like the Hamptons 5 Golden State Warriors awesome. So we'll see where they go when the postseason starts and they actually get their opponent. Because of the play-in scenario, we don't even know the Celtics are gonna play yet as we talk. But that's the one where everyone knew the East. Middle of the East, no one really knew. Not all the way up to the 2 seed, which wound up going to the Knicks, surprisingly, because they won out. The West, even at the top spot, we had 3 teams tied at 1 with a game to go in the regular season. It was pretty interesting.
It was interesting. That, like I said, we said with the West, everybody was just going to be completely log jammed. And it turned out that was the case. Everybody was. It's really going to be.
You didn't have time to rest people all at once. I know there's the anti-load management rules that were put in place by the new CBA. But, you know, me and someone else were talking about this, and he made a good point. I think the league really did it right when it came to scheduling and making the regular season feel significant in that 65-game minimum incentive in order to earn individual honors and contract incentives, that was a big plus when it came to the regular season. Certain players just could not miss time. They had to hit the 65-game threshold.
Now, with that said, do you feel a little disappointment that it kind of got undermined on the last day of the season, because teams were openly tanking for seed position, and since everybody was all a game apart and tied, and we should
so
we
Adam,
be happy.
That's one that? Where I don't. That's where I want. I don't think any team, any league, and any season can escape. The NBA teams are going to do this. They're going to look at the rankings in the last day of the regular season rankings. They're going to say, "All right, we want to play Team X instead of Team Y. We need to tank this game in order to make it happen." I don't need to go through all the games. There's literally 15 games that were played on Friday, and 15 games are being played on Sunday. Well, so there's so many examples. You're right. There's so many examples. Where
shouldn't
you're like,
we be happy for the Knicks for making the number 2 seed as opposed to,
they wanted it. They wanted that 2 seed. You could see it.
As opposed to Cleveland going, you know what? We're going to play Amani Bates for 30 minutes. And, you know, Mobley,
they got locked in, and as we're talking, that the East is locked in, I believe. They're going to play Orlando. And then the Knicks are going to play a mystery team, either Philadelphia or Miami.
Which is not That's
and then Milwaukee and Indiana is interesting because remember they had that weird kerfuffle where Giannis got the 64-point game and they wouldn't give him the ball.
Milwaukee did it because they like their matchup. Orlando and Cleveland is really just a battle of who isn't gonna lose the series. Cleveland has no confidence. Nobody has confidence in Cleveland.
They have a really good defense, which has carried them in the regular season. And Donovan Mitchell's a great player, but you wonder about because Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, they got outplayed in the inside by the Knicks last year, and you wonder, oh, okay, here comes.
And Orlando has no clue what they're doing.
Well, they're very young.
Joe Ingles.
They're very young, and their offense is bad. So we'll see. It's gonna be an interesting matchup. So that's the Eastern side. The West side, it feels like every team is as good as the other because it's not. I think Denver is a cut above the Lakers and the Mavericks, and I think the Thunder and the Wolves are better than the Pelicans and the Suns.
The Wolves and possibly the Thunder are regular season good. We don't know about what the Thunder could give us in the playoffs, but we know the Wolves melted down the last year.
They have not won a playoff series yet. They got to get over that.
And it's just like, you know, we had talked about the murderer's row, and then you have like the Warriors have to win two games on the road just to make the playoffs to be able to play at Oklahoma City
And to admit my partiality, I am a Pelicans fan, and they're in this playoff. They're in the middle of it.
So
they had a very competitive game against the Warriors on Friday night. Very competitive. The Warriors, they played that. That felt like a playoff game. I know you hear that a lot in the regular. It just feels like a playoff game. That felt like a playoff game. Like the Warriors did not. That was the only chance the Warriors would have had to get out of the play-in because the Kings are going backwards with the injuries to Malik Monk and Kevin Werter. The Suns don't want to be in the play-in with that overbloated luxury tax second apron roster that they have. So they're pushing really hard. So some games in the West have been super duper competitive. And that was one of them, the Golden State New Orleans game, and the Sacramento Phoenix game.
So the Timberwolves lose to the Suns. They would be the 3 and 6 most likely, correct? Considering right. The Nuggets and the Thunder are probably going to win.
Yeah. And I believe that would put the Thunder at the 1 seed. And the Nuggets at the 2 seed. That means that
the Timberwolves would play the Suns.
That means the winner. I mean, we're just talking here. That means the winner of the 7-8 matchup would probably play the Nuggets. Nobody wants to play the Nuggets.
So it would be the Lakers. The Lakers took care of the Pelicans because I'm going to guess the Pelicans are like, we're just going to save it for the play-in.
I think they ran out of gas. I think they put a lot of energy into winning that Golden State game because they had never been in a game that competitive before. And they won it, God bless them, on the road. But then they went to New Orleans and they stunk.
So you'll have the Pelicans and the Lakers, and then you'll have the Kings, Warriors.
Yep. And that'll be a do or die. The for those who need the reminder, you know, the casuals.
So
we have any. The 9-10 matchup is an elimination game. You win and you lose it. And
yeah,
the thing is,
last week we already wrote off the Kings, unfortunately, as did everyone else. You lose Malik Monk.
I believe they will get the home court against the Warriors. So
yeah, they get the home court. That doesn't mean anything, considering it's a 75-minute drive.
That's true. We've seen a lot of home teams losing elimination games of the play-in. That's true.
You lose two of your best 6 players. Maybe 7. You're only 2 bench guys, pretty much.
Your defense was weak to start.
The Warriors are going to come in and just shoot the lights out. So it's very, I mean, as far as the West goes, you got Oklahoma City. Let's say they're going to play the Warriors at 8. So you got the Warriors probably have to be almost favored due to their championship experience. And it's just like, here you have Oklahoma City destroying everybody, and then boom, number 1 seed gone. You have
I think a lot of the turbulence that happened where we saw some competitive games in the West had to do with the fact that three of the four teams in the play-in zone were Phoenix, Los Angeles, and Golden State. Los Angeles and Golden State realized they cannot escape the play-in. They're stuck in it. Phoenix saw that, look, if we win all of these games, we can get out of this thing and give ourselves some wiggle room to play the Thunder or somebody like that.
But they're going to play Minnesota now again. And again, this was the drama we all needed. The problem is it came down to literally one game. And
it feels a little bit like last year in terms of the structure. In the East, there's about three teams I like to win that conference. There's one I really like to win that conference. In the West, I'm not really sure. The difference, though, is that the Denver, we're a year later, and Denver's won a title. So Denver's in the mix. Golden State is fighting for their lives, even though they won a title 2 years
but
ago.
It's,
so,
you think about
the Lakers won one in the bubble, you know, so they're all hanging around.
In any other year, you got Kawhi and Paul George and Harden versus Kyrie and Luka. Somebody's going home in the first round.
Yep.
For two very expensive rosters. It's just like, wow.
And, you know, and I mean, we don't have to talk about that, but we know what's going to happen after that. It's going to be hellfire and brimstone on the first takes and everything. Oh, we got to break this up. This is a disaster. This has got to go. I mean, because if let's be real. If Golden State doesn't get out of the play-in, that team in salary cap, in salary tax, costed $200 million.
There's a lot of storylines when it comes to the Western Conference and this playoff. The East, not so much. It'll just take kind of Milwaukee or Boston melting down to have the same reaction.
You know, the thing that's being buried in all the, I mean, people will probably talk about it as the week comes on, comes along, because the 7-8 games is locked in. It's Philadelphia is going to be at home against the Miami Heat. We all know the story about the Miami Heat getting out of the play-in and then as an 8 seed going to the NBA Finals last year. But let me tell you this about the Sixers. They haven't lost a game since Joel Embiid came back about 2 weeks ago. I mean, if I'm the team that has to play, that would be the Knicks. Say Philadelphia beats Miami. They play the Knicks. I'd be scared shitless if I'm the Knicks.
That's why Cleveland decided to tank. It's just, that's just rough. That's you lose Julius Randle and then angry, healthy Embiid is back, or playoff. Jimmy.
I don't think it was a coincidence that very suddenly we saw Mitchell Robinson back. I don't think it was a coincidence.
So let's get into some postseason awards, shall we?
Sure. Now that the regular season's over, we can actually sort of talk about it. And there, obviously, there's always controversy, but there's always consequences to the whoever makes all NBA. And we could talk about that one, too. But let's kind of hit the awards first. MVP, most valuable player.
MVP has to be Jokic, as much as you want it. You want it. Oh, Victor Wembanyama.
You see, you joke about it. Nikola Jokic with an asterisk, because if Joel Embiid played enough games, he would have won in a runaway. That's just how I feel. Joel Embiid's PER was like way better than Jokic's, way better. But
Jokic's numbers are still insanely high. What can you do?
Mm-hmm. I agree with it. I mean, he had a great year. His numbers, I looked at them, they're about the same as the 2022 season when he won the MVP. Almost exactly the same. Did he have the same impact in terms of winning games and the turnarounds and carrying them because of injuries? No, because the Nuggets were healthy for most of the season, but they were still like one of the three best records in the West, and he was he's going to be in the playoffs again. Easy choice there for MVP. Most improved player.
I think it should be Kobe White.
He had a great.
As much as they're going to give to Maxey for doing the Giannis leap from starter to borderline all-star.
What you talk about playing your cards right? They got Kobe negotiated down to like 11, 12 million a year for 3 years because he hadn't blossomed yet. So you talk. I mean, Chicago came out good on that one. Tyrese Maxey would be my pick. Another one I thought about was Jalen Green for the Houston Rockets. He really came on in the last 2 months of the regular season.
That was the last 2 months, but the first.
I would make the case he was their best player at the end.
But he disappeared until Şengün went out. He really wasn't. It was like, well, should we get rid of him?
Yeah, that'll be interesting when they get to the off season, because I'm pretty sure they're both going to get rookie maxed, and you already have the money committed to VanVleet. But that's a Rockets gone fishing. But Jalen Green had a good year. There's other people that we probably could have mentioned in that fold, but Coby White, Tyrese Maxey, those are pretty good choices. Defensive player of the year, we both agreed. I could just say it now, it's Rudy Gobert for the Wolves.
It is Rudy Gobert. As much as Wembanyama, well, yeah, he'll probably get it next year, but
Anthony Davis, I could have made a case for as well.
Gobert was just, it's what he does. He's what, a three-time winner already?
He's a three-time winner. I also believe that would make him a Supermax eligible player.
Doesn't mean anything. He's not.
Adam, you're laughing. That's one of the criteria. If you get deployed multiple times.
Yeah, but with his age, this contract, this is his last big contract. So nobody's going to extend a 36-year-old seven-foot center.
But if you look at it, Minnesota had the number one defensive efficiency and points allowed, and it was because of Gobert. Okay. Yep. So that's all you have to look at. The Jerry West Award that they created, Clutch Player of the Year. I like your choice, but I have a different one.
Anyways. I went with DeRozan. I mean,
DeRozan and the Bulls. When LaVine went out, I want to say, was it February that he went out, or was it March? Whenever he went out and shut it down, they had been in we must win every game possible mode, and that's when DeRozan started taking over games. And I got to give him a lot of credit. He was in a contract year. He might get the bag again. He might get a nice payout again for the last few years, because he has not slowed down at his age, at 35 or 34 years old.
Who did you have then?
Anthony Edwards. Edwards really carried the Wolves in clutch moments to get them the record that they have. I could have even made him an MVP candidate at times. Without Anthony Edwards, they wouldn't even be in this position to have the one of the best records in the West. But in the fourth quarter, without Anthony Edwards, they were toast. You're not going to rely on Rudy Gobert and Karl Towns to make these plays. Edwards was making those plays. I like DeRozan. The one about Damian Lillard, I didn't understand that at all. Yes, he had a big three to beat the Kings at the buzzer one time. Great. That doesn't make you clutch player of the year. Come on now. sixth man of the year. We both agreed on it. It was Malik Monk, who we won't see in the postseason because of an injury.
I don't know if we'll see him in Sacramento anymore.
Because he's a free agent. That's correct.
He's a free agent. And I could see somebody like, who's say Orlando or Houston won't be like, we want you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll overpay you.
He might get the balloon payment like Bruce Brown did. That's very much possible.
Sixth man of the year. He's pretty much.
I would say he averaged 18 points, 5 assists, and like 3 made threes a game. He was incredible off the bench for them. Comeback player of the year. I don't even know if this is an award anymore.
It isn't. I just wanted to make a note of it.
This is a figurative award out of interest, because we actually have a few people we could choose. What's yours?
Because in theory, he would be the MIP, because Dante Exum was straight up out of the league for however many years now after his terrible injury and just never bounced back from it. Went over to Europe, but also came back and was a solid contributor for Dallas out of nowhere.
He was. Had that crazy shot where he tied it against, who was it? They were playing the Rockets to get it to overtime. A lot of the things are surrounding Dallas is circulated around Luka's greatness, because he's likely going to be the runner up for MVP. He's going to win the scoring title also. We don't have to predict that when we already know it. Luka's going to win the scoring title. And Kyrie had a really good year. All NBA good. We'll talk about that in a second. For me, it would be Kelly Oubre Jr. with the Philadelphia 76ers. He really reclaimed his career this past season with the Sixers. Found a good fit there. Averaged something near 15 points a game on a team that might go to the NBA Finals, possibly. Interesting. It was just a really good year. But there are a lot of other people who we would say, man, they really bounced back well. I mean, Miles Bridges missed an entire year, and he came back and he was really good. He's going to get paid in the offseason because he's a free agent. So I understand the circumstances around his absence, which people don't want to talk about, but I mean, I guess that would be a good candidate there. Now we can talk about Rookie of the Year. I mean, we know it's Victor Wembanyama. Let's just go with the people under them. Who did you like in the rookie class other than Wembanyama?
Okay, the All-NBA rookie team then. I mean,
pretty much, yeah.
Well, you know, with when it came to the rookie with Wimbledon, it was, can he play all the games? What's going to happen when he gets his first, like, somebody runs into his legs? Are they going to sit him for 3 weeks? Are they going to do the Cade Cunningham where they shut him down for a full month because, you know, he shot the ball wrong? No, he played. He played all the games. He dominated. It was a pleasure to watch it this season.
He's the real thing. He is, like, for those people that want to say, oh, there's too much hype around the hype train, there's no way he's going to be a league MVP in 3 years. There's no way the Spurs are going to be a playoff team in 5 years. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They have to build it around him. This is where the RC Buford part comes in, but you got the centerpiece in place to do it. It's very much like when LeBron was in Cleveland. Give it a few more years and you're going to have a hell of a team around an NBA caliber player. Chet Holmgren was really good.
So really, as far as really the all rookie teams, which I think this is the first time I've ever gone and did this much work for the awards and stuff.
It was a slightly deeper class. Also a lot of more scoring in the league. So a lot more rookie players got minutes and were able to score more points. Even Brandon Pajemski played, you know,
Pajemski, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Brandon Miller and Chet Holmgren, first team. Second team, Derek Lively, Keontae George, Gigi Jackson, because he was pressed into action with the entire Memphis team being just completely injured.
He was a second round pick, yeah, but he got a guaranteed contract out of that.
And then I got to give it to the Thompson twins because Scoot was injured too many times, and I don't have how many games he played, but it was maybe 45.
Yeah, he had almost as many turnovers as assists, but he got better. Like all rookies, he got better at the end of the year. You could see him blossoming a little bit. I like Keontae George. Derek Lively got hurt, but he was a rebounding and shot blocking machine. He also, I want to say, he shot 70% from the field. And let me say this about the Thompsons. I like Osar. I think if we had to pick one of them for that last spot in second team, I'd probably pick Osar with the Pistons.
And I was completely wrong, which shows not how bad Scoot was. He played 62 games.
Yeah,
63.
He was just sort of persona non grata at times because they were playing
just
a lot
him on the bench and Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah. And it was
and Delano like, Banton.
You kind of need to force him in and just through the times, but Chauncey Billups just, I don't know. Yes, you see it. You see that it's going to get better, but a very rough road for people who are, you know, including us. We're like, should it be Scoot or should it be Brandon Miller for number two for Charlotte? It's a real.
Do you want my hot take about Brandon Miller? I think he's going to be a better player than Ball, and they need to trade Ball.
A lot of people have been saying that, but it's kind of hard since Ball has not been on the court.
It's not as much. Let me say this. That's a hotter take than the one that almost everybody's coming to the conclusion now with Atlanta, which is Trae Young needs to be traded. He doesn't fit.
I'd like to say I was on the early bandwagon and I was very.
Adam, let me. I know we have a couple more. We have all NBA to talk about, but let me just talk about this, okay? Atlanta gets on a roll at the end of March. They beat the Celtics twice in a row. Nobody did that, okay? Trae Young comes back in April. They haven't won since. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. And they're in the play-in against Chicago. It's like, I just watched them give up 150 points to the freaking Pacers. Yeah, Trae Young's not going to make All-NBA. Who made your All-NBA first team?
All right, All-NBA first team.
There's consequences here. If you don't pick somebody, they don't get the Supermax.
The first team I don't think was much of a...
No, mine was the same as yours, so I don't have to repeat it.
It was SGA, Luka, Giannis, Tatum, and Jokic. I mean, you could make an argument for
those who want to argue Tatum, he was Eastern Conference Player of the Month twice. Nobody else was the only other one who was Player of the Month more than once in their conference was Luka Doncic. So, yeah, Jason Tatum, he didn't have 50-point games out the wazoo.
That's what everybody's saying. It's like it should be Anthony Edwards because Edwards' stats were better. Yeah, but... On a team so stacked as the Celtics, the stats have to sort of even out. So I have that second team.
I have Edwards too on second team. So he didn't make first, but I have him as second. We also agree on the other guard.
I got Edwards, Brunson, Kawhi, AD, and KD.
Okay, I have AD, KD. We know our alphabet, but I actually had Steph Curry as second team instead of Kawhi Leonard. So just a little bit of hedging, a little bit of threading. Third team, I'll say mine first because mine's markedly different from yours, okay? Third team, Tyrese Halliburton led the league in assists. Jaylen Brown, didn't matter for him. He already got the Supermax the year before for making All-NBA. Devin Booker, Domantas Sabonis, and Rudy Gobert. Who did you have?
Okay, we both agree on Brown and Halliburton.
Okay.
Steph versus Kawhi. Okay, that's a potato. We both swapped.
Yeah, there. I didn't have. I just thought about it. I don't have Kawhi in my All NBA. I don't.
Oh, that's awkward now.
He's a great player, man. But I just thought other players had better years. That's all.
So, Maxey, I think should because he
had a great year.
He had a great year, and then the last one. It's like, do you give it to Zion? Do you give it to LeBron? Or do you give it to Sabonis?
Sabonis. LeBron makes the case. LeBron makes the case.
I don't see how you can keep LeBron off of it at his age. Although, if you just looked at numbers, if it was a blind, you know, looking at paper, it's a bonus with his numbers. Yeah, because didn't he have, according to like the most double-doubles?
He had the most consecutive double-doubles since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 70s. So that's a pretty marked, like, record. I just want to look this up really quick for you. Just to, like, if you would just want to be amazed for LeBron James, his he shot 54% from the field, 41% from three. He's 39 years old. That's pretty incredible. I still don't think he's their best player. I still think Anthony Davis is their best player.
Anthony Davis is their best player because he stayed healthy, which everyone always like, well, he's not going to. We know we'll get. But
LeBron, that's going to be close. I don't know if that's going to make a difference because of the under 38 rule involving him maybe opting out because there have been rumors he might opt out of that player option and get another 2 years tacked on. So I don't think it actually matters for LeBron whether he makes All-NBA or not. He's going to get paid no matter what, and he's got a cap on it. But, do you think some people might be a little salty about if they miss out? I'm trying to think of any of those people that did the rookie max, which was the 2020 class, which would have been Ball. Edwards is going to hit it. He's going to get the rookie super max. Anybody else I can think of that could be eligible for rookies for the super max? Tatum's going to get it.
Maxey
might. That's a good.
Now, if you know he falls in the third team, like I.
That'll be close. That's a good one. Yeah, we had some controversies. Paul George was one. Trae Young barely making it and getting rookie super max. Just like Luka did. But Tatum, I think, is a no-brainer. Remember, the criteria is just make All-NBA, period, first, second, third. If you make it at all, Tatum is in line to be first team at least. So I think it's pretty safe to say Tatum's going to get Supermax just like Jaylen Brown. And also, by the way, they just re-upped Jrue Holiday. So can they afford this team in the second apron for multiple years?
I think they're content to do it.
If they win it all?
If they win it all, it makes paying, as you saw with Golden State, winning makes paying a whole hell of a lot easier. And then as you've seen with the Clippers in Brooklyn, losing makes paying a whole hell of a lot more painful. So like you have Milwaukee, who's paying a ton now for this team. You have Boston paying a ton for this team.
The Clippers are they're in that territory, but they can get out of it if they want to. They did not re-sign James Harden yet, and they did re-sign Kawhi Leonard, but not Paul George yet. So they can actually get out of it if they want to.
Speaking of getting out, any other final thoughts of the season before we wrap up our regular season?
I enjoyed the scoring. I know some people rolled their eyes at it. I actually liked it. I think the games are funner. I think to repeat what I said at the top, I think the 65 game threshold worked. I think teams were scared of getting fined for load management, and the league has gotten smarter to see when people are trying to pull it off and punish them severely for doing so. So you just see less DNPs. And when you see less DNPs of stars and they have to play one another in competitive games and the records are close, you get really good regular season games. Does it show in the ratings? I'm not sure, because we might see a basketball season where Caitlin Clark got better ratings than NBA playoff games. So it might be a little bit of a it might be a little bit of a sobering feeling for NBA fans that that the NBA is not in the zeitgeist the way that I guess Caitlin Clark is.
All right, then. So for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care, y'all. Enjoy the playoffs.